Hey, everyone. Saltgrass Steakhouse is now open in Mishawaka. Wrangle up the crew and head down to Saltgrass Mishawaka for an unforgettable experience. Sink your teeth into mouth-watering, char-grilled, certified Angus beef steaks. Sip on ice-cold craft cocktails. And don't forget to try the famous Spicy Range Rattlers, all made daily in the Scratch Kitchen. Start making delicious memories at Saltgrass Mishawaka, 5126 North Main Street, across from Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. Dine with us today.
Our WSBT radio studios in downtown South Bend.
Let's go! Come on!
Welcome to Budweiser's weekday sports beat.
Wow, don't blink. A lot of major intestinal fortitude going on here.
On your home for Notre Dame football.
Knocked down by Wooden. The game is over. The Irish has upset Florida State. Notre Dame is number one.
And Notre Dame basketball.
Number one ranked UCLA Bruins.
National championship for Notre Dame.
Plus, Fighting Irish hockey.
They score! Jake Evans scores! Notre Dame, 3.7 seconds away from a spot in the national championship game.
The NFL and Major League Baseball.
Oh my gracious, how about that?
Sports Radio 960 WSBT. WSBTRadio.com. The free WSBT radio app.
Big time onions!
Now, here's your host, seven-time Associated Press Broadcasting Award winner, Darren Pritchett.
It is 8 minutes after 5 o'clock, and we welcome you to Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat. On your home of the Irish and Saturday's Blue Goal Game, Sports Radio 960 WSBT. My name is Darren Pritchett, joined by Eric Hansen, Hall of Fame writer, publisher and editor at InsideIndySports.com. And we are here to talk plenty of Notre Dame football during the 5 o'clock hour, as we are within 48 hours of the latest installment of the Notre Dame football Blue Goal game, a.k.a. the final spring practice for 2024. I'll be with you until 7 o'clock tonight. We have South Bend Cubs baseball at Beloit at 7:20. That's when our pregame coverage will get underway. The first pitch from Beloit against the Skycarp comes your way at 7:35. Eric, good to see you. How are you?
I'm doing good. I was up early this morning for the Blue Gold game draft.
You actually followed that pick by pick?
I followed it pick by pick, and we were relaying it to our folks on the message board on the Insider Lounge, and it was entertaining. It went fast. I had a hard time writing everything down and typing it in to the message board quick enough. I fell a little bit behind. Marcus was keeping a good pace with it. And then it was pretty funny because the coaches are Al Washington and Dylan McCullough, and they came up and gave a little speech at the end. And Dylan's is not something that you could play on WSBT radio.
I saw, yeah.
Yeah, that was interesting. It got a little intense.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of needling that goes on in the coaching area before and after the game. That's the way it goes.
Well, I think I have always liked these blue and gold formats when it's been more of a traditional game. I realize sometimes it's because of injuries and depth that they've gone offense and defense and have the advanced Stableford scoring system, and it's just not the same. There's just this rivalry and this era of fun around it, and I like that better. And I think the draft just adds to it.
It does. It does. I would say, and I'm going to go over the rosters in the 6 o'clock hour in a segment, but if there's one part of the team that could be at a bit of a disadvantage, in my humble opinion, might be the blue team offense. Mm-hmm. Because I look at the gold team offensive line, Jagasaw and Baker, who could be your starting tackles.
Yeah.
you've got Rocco Spindler, and you've got Ashton Craig. So arguably, that could be four of your starters. Spindler will be in a good competition.
Right.
And then you look at the blue roster. I mean, you do have Emil Wagner, who can handle a tackle spot.
Right.
And you've got probably Pendleton at center, Shrouth and Coogan as your guards. And who would be the other
Sullivan
tackle?
Sullivan Absher.
Okay. So I think advantage gold team offensive line. So that helps Kenny Minchie a little bit.
It does. But, you know, we had Hunter Bivin on our podcast today, former offensive lineman. He's in charge of alumni relations for Notre Dame now. And, you know, he played in a bunch of those, and he played with Quentin Nelson and McGlinchey. He was in that era. In fact, Quentin Nelson is coming back for Legacy Weekend, so he's one of the
– I'm sure he'll leave another legacy.
Yeah. So but he said – I said, what's it like in these blue-gold games when the offensive linemen aren't lined up next to the guys they're used to playing? You can't. It cancels it out. It just –
That's why I think the blue team offense could be at a disadvantage. And the blue team quarterbacks are Steve Angeli, who will not be live. Everybody else will be live in the game. So Steve will have a red jersey. Now, Riley Leonard's on this team. We know he's not going to play.
Yeah.
But C.J. Carr's going to play for both teams,
right,
which I absolutely love.
I love that, and I love the fact that Minchie and Carr can get hit. So a sack.
I'm sure they love that too.
Well, the thing is, we're going to be able to see their running ability and their scrambling ability for real. We'll also get a better sense of the pass rush, because there have been blue gold games where if somebody was in the same zip code, they were called for a sack. And so we'll see some escapability from these younger quarterbacks. I think that's another aspect that I'm kind of excited about.
Okay. So if you're a C.J. Carr fan, he's going to be on the blue and the gold team. We'll see probably a lot of him in the second half.
Yeah.
But Minchie, you know what? I don't want to forget him. He gets his chance. He is the starter on the gold team and a chance to shine with, again, a pretty good offensive line in front of him.
Right. And there were some games or some plays in the jersey scrimmage where maybe he could have been called for a sack, and then he ran 30 yards down the field. So we'll see which of those scenarios play out when he's live. That's one of the reasons. He's got an intriguing skill set. I would not write him off.
You got to love breaking down the blue goal game rosters. But last year, it was 24-0. It was kind of a blowout, so I'm hoping for a little more competition in the second half of this game, because Marcus can go back to regular rules in the second half if he desires.
I thought the draft was interesting. Some of the players that were picked higher than others. Now, the seniors were already pre-assigned to a team, and sometimes you're a little bit looking for need, but what they do is they'll open up a position group, and then you draft the whole position group. But that Kixton Viliamu-Asa was the first linebacker, to me, was interesting.
I was going to say.
Now, only Jack Kaiser was out of play. Everybody else was in that draft. There you go.
Or should I go, are we on to something here?
Yeah.
Now, the captains, the players were making the picks, right?
Well, the coach and the captains, yes.
But the captains were probably going to get their way. Right. I would imagine.
Right.
So it's interesting that KVA went first from the line because they went position by position.
Right.
So one team had a chance to pick whoever they wanted at a certain position.
Right.
And I think it was the gold team that went with KVA.
Right. That Billy Shrouth was the first guard, and that Rocco was second and Pat Coogan was third, I thought was kind of interesting. Emil Wagner over Charles Jagaza.
Now, is this just buddies picking buddies, or is this
Well, I mean, they may have inside. Said, we need a right tackle versus two left tackles, because I think Tosh Baker was already on the team that Charles Jagaza ended up on.
Okay.
Yeah, so there may be a little bit of that, but the KVA thing, there's no, and same with Shrouth, there's not – That was legit. It was interesting how the wide receivers came off the board a little bit too. I mean, it's no surprise Jaden Greathouse. It's a good thing he's not Jaden Okayhouse. He is Jaden Greathouse.
There's a lot of Jadens.
Yeah, Jaden's and Jaylen's.
Yeah, there's a lot.
And I don't think growing up there were a lot of Jaden's and Jaylen's on this planet. It's a popular name now.
I don't think I knew anybody with those names as a kid.
I didn't know a lot of Darren's, though. I knew Darren from Bewitched. And
yes?
Yeah. But now I know lots of Darren's.
But now you also know the Pritchett's from the TV show.
That's right. Gloria Pritchett.
Gloria Pritchett. All I can think of now is your GIF that you use all the time, which I can't get into any further detail. But anyway, hey, there was even a trade during the draft today.
Jaden Osbury got traded from the blue team to the gold team for Jalen Sneed.
So a positional switch, probably.
It was, well, yeah, but they offered, they said, we will give you Jaden Osbury. We want either Jalen Sneed or KVA.
Ooh.
And the gold team gave up Jalen Sneed instead of KVA. They kept him.
Mm.
That's interesting.
There's something happening there.
There's something there.
Uh-huh. I love it. And there was another trade that got no thank you. I can't remember what it was now.
I can't remember what it was either, but it was like, nah.
No. No thank you. No
it
thank you.
It was either a wide receiver or running back, I think, but I don't remember.
Okay. Eric and Darren with you. I'll go through all the rosters, the main players coming up in the first segment of the 6 o'clock hour. But right now,
And Jordan Faison got picked by the lacrosse team.
He'll be playing at 11:30 a.m.
Right.
Lacrosse.
Right.
So
against North Carolina.
Okay, so he will not be coming over to the blue gold.
If he does, he'll have a stick.
Which would be an advantage for that team. There's no doubt. Okay, so I want to pick your brain because you've been thinking about spring practice and the blue gold game for quite amount of time, and you have, I'm sure, thoughts in your mind, things that you'd like to watch for. Now, I've grabbed you for the blue gold game, and I know you'll probably go back and watch the game itself video-wise so you can watch other things. But I want to go through things that you're looking for on offense, things you're looking for on defense, and then we'll try to pick a couple of players at the end that would have the opportunity to wrap up a successful spring. Because I don't want to sit here and say, if this guy plays well, it could mean this and this and this. It's an accumulation of 15 practices.
Okay.
So I think we're building momentum throughout spring, and maybe someone can put the icing on the cake by wrapping up a really good spring with a great performance on Saturday. But let's start on the offensive side of the football. Give me the top three things that you believe fans should look for from the Irish offense in Saturday's blue gold game. We'll go 3-1 with one maybe being a little more spicy than the other two. So let's start at number three.
Right. Well, what didn't make the list is offensive line continuity and chemistry, because you're not going to see that. You may see some good individual skills, but you're not going to see the continuity and chemistry. So number three for me is a couple of players. I got asked this in the podcast today, under the radar players, and I thought, who's still under the radar at this point? But I think there's a couple that I think are worth watching, and I think could emerge and maybe have big days, and that is K.K. Smith, the sophomore wide receiver who was hurt almost all last year. He was coming back from shoulder surgery. He has been, in the practices that I've seen, I'm like, there is a burst of speed there that I like. And Aeneas Williams, a freshman running back, who I think was overshadowed of the two freshman running backs, but Keedron Young got hurt pretty early in the spring. And Aeneas Williams has had some good days, and I could see him maybe in the second half of the game getting some carries where he has some pretty good stats. So those two.
Do you think inadvertently Aeneas Williams is more under the radar than Keedron Young is because Young reminds people of Audric Estime and body type?
Absolutely. They look at Aeneas and they say, well, there's guys his size already on the roster, kind of his skill set, but he's a really good back. Keedron, 6'2", 229. And so you're thinking third and fourth and short, and he's got a burst with that. He's got great stats. He played a really good high school program in Texas against really good competition. And you look at him, and he doesn't look 229. He looks like 205 because he's that cut and chiseled. Man, so I'm eager to see him in the fall, but Aeneas Williams has had a good spring.
He was pretty good cornerback back in the day in the NFL, too, that Aeneas Williams guy. Okay, number two on your things that we all should look for from the Irish offense on Saturday.
I'm going to say the poise and the precision of the quarterbacks. Again, you know, it's a little bit jumbled up, but, you know, that's what happens when you face like Louisville and Clemson last year. You see things that you weren't expecting to see on film. So having an offensive line in front of you that's not perfect, maybe being paired with receivers that you're not with all the time because there was an injury during the season. We saw a lot of injured wide receivers last year. So this actually is a good test of the poise and how these quarterbacks adjust on the fly. Maybe not who's 1, 2, 3, 4. Certainly there's only three of them playing, so we can't get that. But I do think there's some tells in the quarterback play.
I'll probably ask you this next week. So I'm probably asking a week too early. But at this point, through 14 practices, do you believe any quarterback has helped themselves more than the others? And that doesn't mean they're necessarily going to jump someone on the depth chart. I'm just saying their play has allowed them to maybe change the perception of who they are. Or is it still too close to call at this point?
I would say this. I give both Gino Gadulli and the quarterbacks all kinds of credit for all of them making progress. There's springs that I've seen, especially at the tail end. A good one was 2015 spring. DeShone Kizer looked like he flat out couldn't play college football. Montgomery Van Gorder looked better than DeShone Kizer. And DeShone Kizer even considered quitting football to go to baseball that summer. And then the second game of the season, he wins a game at Virginia and becomes this prolific quarterback that goes in the second round in the NFL draft. So to see 1 through 4, especially 2 through 4 or 1A through 4 improve, was really impressive. And Riley Leonard, how engaged he was when he was injured, was very impressive. And how he led, I was impressed. But I would say C.J. Carr helped himself more than anybody. Not that it's going to change the depth chart, but to me, he's planting a seed about 2025, which is what it is with him. This isn't about 2024 necessarily with C.J. Carr, unless crazy things happen. But 2025 is where he's going to make his move if he's going to make it. And I think he's moving down that road to compete.
You know, DeShone had the audacity to win that game at Virginia and ruin that poor kid's day that was hanging over the barrier. And you found him later and did an interview with that kid.
He was so much fun to talk to. He was really funny. And he had some great stories that went along with that. He had transferred from Virginia to Texas, and he walked into his office. And I want to say his boss was a Virginia alum, and he had that picture on his desk or his picture taped to his desk or something. It was pretty funny, but he was a good sport, and that was a fun interview. You know who I want to interview next, kind of regard to weird-o interviews, is Junior Jabby, because everybody brings him up every spring game as the least – deserving MVP of a spring game ever, at least the least telling MVP.
Do you remember the 5-star running back? Was it Mike McNeil?
Mike McNair.
Mike McNair. He scored his first touchdown, I think his final year in the blue gold game. He was supposed to be the stud, and his moment in the sun was actually the blue gold game.
I'll tell you what, he's a great guy, and I actually did an interview with him a few years later, and he owns that and kind of – but he went on to be a really successful like aerospace engineer. He is a pretty cool guy. I admire him a lot.
I was thinking Mike McNeil's the former NHL player from South Bend who works at the Compton Family Ice Arena. Sorry. Mike McNeil probably could have played football as well. All right, 525. Your third and final on the offensive side of the football item we should look for in the blue gold game. So this is your top item on offense.
I think it always kind of holds true in just about any format, and it's wide receiver speed and production. And so I think that's worth looking at. Who can get open, who can take a top off a defense, which Notre Dame's defense is really hard to do that too, and who can be productive. And we saw a lot out of Jaden Greathouse in the blue gold game last year, and it wasn't a fluke. I mean, he ended up being a really productive freshman for Notre Dame and would have been prolific if had he not had a hamstring injury that slowed him down.
Okay, so those are the three things on the offensive side of the football to watch for in the blue goal game. Now let's go to the defensive side. Eric is going to lay out three things that you, the fans, can watch or, in many people's cases, listen on WSBT Radio to things happening on the defensive
side of football. We'll paint the picture for you.
Oh, absolutely. Let me say this. Don't say a word, okay?
Okay.
Folks, be honest. Peacock's got Jason Garrett. I've got Eric Hansen. Who would you rather listen to? Who would you rather listen to? I mean, come on. Is it even a competition? Do I need to even put it to vote on Twitter? I mean, it's a landslide. I mean, come on.
That's funny.
Although I'll make Eric say naked bootleg like three times in the broadcast just so you get the feel.
All right.
I'll leave it at that. All right. Defensive side of the football. Three things to watch for. We'll start with number three.
I'm going to go with the pass rush, and it'll be a little bit skewed because Angeli won't be live and the offensive line will be split up. But I do think you'll – and I think Al Golden is going to dial back a little bit of the variety, but I think you'll get a sense of who's going to be part of this pass rush. And I, you know, we were asked on the podcast today who's going to be the leader in sacks. We had that as part of the Twitter question not too long ago, and I went with Boubacar Traoré, and I feel so much better about that answer after Saturday. But I do think you'll see a variety of guys be able to rush the passer, and I think that'll be kind of a fun part of it.
Number two on defense.
I'm going to say the safety play other than Xavier Watts, and not that you don't want to watch Xavier Watts because he has picked up where he left off last year, but Adon Schuler and Luke Talish especially, they're not on the same team. I would watch those guys because they forced themselves in the conversation about making this a rotation and not a duo with Rod Hurd II, and who's coming in June and from Northwestern, and Xavier Watts. I think those guys are going to play, and I think they're going to get into packages. And I think they're the future. They're going to be the starting safeties probably next year.
Okay, and finally, for the blue goal game, defensively on Saturday, the number one thing to watch out for.
We've been talking about how good linebacker recruiting has been in the last few cycles.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to show up Saturday. You're going to see athletes all over the place in that linebacker group. And I think it's going to be fun to watch. And they're going to be coming from different angles and having different roles. And the guy with the hair coming out of the back of his helmet, well, there's two of them. One of them's not a linebacker, but the one with the hair coming out of his is KVA, is Kingston Viliamu-Asa. Keep your eye on him. Drake Bowen, Jaden Osbury, who's number four now. Preston Zinter. I mean, you can go on and on. And even a guy like Kahanu Kia is going to be fun to watch, coming back from a couple years being on a Mormon mission, moving back to his natural linebacker position. I think his brother Ko is coming in for a recruiting visit as a committed recruit. So he'll want to show off for the family.
I was just thinking, yeah, I'm going to watch KVA. No, I'm not. I got to watch where the ball goes during the play-by-play. But if he makes the tackle, then I'll be able to watch
you. I'll elbow you.
Okay. All right, really quick. Third opening topic for the show. You've laid out offense, defense, things to watch for. Are there a player or two that could wrap up a successful spring with a solid scrimmage on Saturday?
So I wanted to go a bunch of different ways, and I want to be consistent on offense and defense. I think guys that really made a move during the spring, like Jeremiah Love, would have been a good one because, you know, it's like a 1,000 yards rusher leaves and you have another one maybe in the wings, and he may end up being better than Audric at the end of the day, not this year, but in his career. But the two I'm going to go with are guys that surged and seized the day. And I'm going to go with Billy Shrouth on offense at offensive guard, who was our injury replacement late last year. I think he'll definitely be a starter And when we talked to Hunter Bibben today, that was one of the first guys, maybe the first guy out of his mouth, was Billy Shrouth having the best spring in the offensive lineman. On defense, I'm going with Adon Schuler. He'd start on a lot of teams, and he just took it from the very first. I mean, he was working hard in the winter, but he just grabbed it. It was funny. Luke Talich put on weight. Adon Schuler took off weight, and it was exactly what the doctor ordered for both of them. But I'm telling you, he's impressed me.
Okay. Well, you've been on the Billy Shrouth bandwagon.
I have.
For a good amount of time.
I'm not giving that up. I did that with Kyron Williams and Drew Tranquil, too, and it took a while, but they came on. But my absolute worst one ever, and I didn't have time to be on the bandwagon for long, was Darnell Yule. That was a miss. Now, I had only seen him in one practice.
Sure.
But,
okay. Hey, really quick before we go to break, Dre Brown leaving Notre Dame to go to the University of Illinois. And, of course, that's his alma mater, but that's a guy that was moving up the chain in the, I guess I would call it, Notre Dame front office. Eric, so this is a bit of a surprise?
Yes and no. I mean, Illinois is his alma mater. He was a really good running back there.
Yes, he was.
And he's going to get opportunities because he's good at what he's doing. He's not that old. He's like 26. And you're going to have guys. Chad Bowden has a lot of former proteges at a lot of programs because people want part of that. And Dre is his own person. But I could see that happening. I don't think he was eager to leave Notre Dame. He had just gotten a promotion to director of recruiting. But Illinois is home, and he sees a real opportunity, and I think he's going to do well. Notre Dame will miss him. They'll also be able to attract somebody really good. So, congratulations to Dre.
All right, so Dre Brown goes from Notre Dame to Illinois. Kerry Booth, the basketball player, goes from Notre Dame to Illinois. Who knows? Things go in threes, they always say. We'll see. 5:33 on your home of the Fighting Irish, Sports Radio 960 WSBT. We will jump into Eric's mailbag, his transcript from his chat yesterday. We'll talk more Irish football next on All right, Abby, thank you very much. Sports Beat continues on WSBT Radio. I'm Darren Pritchett, that's Eric Hansen, Hall of Fame writer, publisher, editor at InsideIndySports.com, covering Notre Dame Athletics as part of the Rivals Network, and we will be your broadcast team on Saturday for the Blue Gold game starting at 12:30. To Eric's chat recap, every Wednesday at noon at InsideIndySports.com, Eric takes questions from Irish fans all over the world, and we start from the Jersey Shore. Len wants to know, Eric, if the Notre Dame secondary was expected to be high-end, then what about Notre Dame needing two defensive backs in the transfer portal? That's his opinion.
So sometimes these questions, I suspect that they are breaking the no-spitting rule. There are people that just don't like the transfer portal. They think it's going to ruin football. And that it's going to ruin, especially Notre Dame, that recruits won't want to come anymore. Look, Notre Dame lost three starters in the number one secondary in the country, including their nickel, Thomas Harper. They lost a cornerback, they lost a safety, and they lost their nickel. And they have a lot of good young players, but that's not how football works anymore. If you have a hole to plug, you don't cross your fingers and hope a freshman or a sophomore can be your starter, and unless you're sure that they can handle that at this point. So you fill holes, and Notre Dame was able to fill holes. They lost some other people through the transfer portal as well, like Ramon Henderson and Antonio Carter, that were older players. So, and with Clarence Lewis leaving, you know, they are looking at possibly adding another cornerback, and he's visiting today.
Okay. We've got Mike from Rochester, New York. He noticed on the InsideIndySports.com depth chart that you and Tyler put together that Micah Gilbert is ahead of Deion Colsey. I actually talked about this in the 6 o'clock hour last night. So Mike wants to know, is this a matter of Gilbert really surprising everyone, Colsey not progressing as expected, or a little of both?
I would say more on Micah Gilbert. Micah Gilbert had an incredible senior year where he was a three-star recruit when Notre Dame got a commitment from him, and he was lights out his senior year, and he's continued it through spring practice, and he gets mentioned by his teammates all the time. Dion had an injury kind of midway through where he had to have surgery on a dislocated finger. He came back and has been playing with that. I mean, when I've seen him, I have not felt like he was a disappointment. I had a chance to talk to him. He's got a good attitude, but, you know, this is an important spring for him. He's at a crowded position, and he's not a guy with a lot of versatility. He can't go over and play the field receiver. He can't play in the slot. You know, Jaden Thomas is at the position, Micah Gilbert, and then Bo Collins is coming. And Bo Collins is the transfer from Clemson. So Dion has talent, but he's got to pick it up.
Tom from Kennesaw, Georgia, asked you in your InsideIndySports.com chat, Eric, when Micah Bell was recruited, it seemed that his speed was his best trait. And if I remember correctly, there was even some debate if he would be on offense or defense. What do you see as his role on this year's team?
His strength still is his speed. His weakness is he's 177 pounds. He was playing with the twos, two cornerbacks, with Chance Tucker against, the Notre Dame 1-2 offense in last week's scrimmage. And I think he's a guy that is taking some reps at nickel. So he's going to have a future either as an outside corner on the field side because of his speed, or he'll be a nickel. But he needs to develop physically to make that happen. But still probably one of the fastest, if not the fastest, guys on the team.
Jules sounds like someone from England. So Jules from Joliet, Illinois, started out the question with, good day, sir. That's what made me think of England there. Not many people say, good day, sir. Coach Brown, wide receiver coach, has stated that he wants 6 or 7 players in his rotation. Based on your observations, would you predict... who would you predict will fill those slots? And thank you for your great work. I agree.
Tally-ho. I appreciate it, Jules. So here's who I feel good about. And again, there's some players that I don't have in this rotation that could play their way into it. Mm-hmm. Like Cam Williams was coming on at the end of spring before he apparently got injured this week and is not going to play in blue gold. So who do I feel really good about? Faison and Greathouse in. Thomas in, Mitchell in, Bo Collins, who comes in June, in. That's 5.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Micah Gilbert, and if I can get a 7th, I'm going with K.K. Smith. But I'm telling you, there's a lot of guys that are going to challenge that in the fall, like Logan Saldate and Deion Colsey. I don't have Deion in that 6 or 7 right now, so he's going to have to pick it up.
Okay. Jay Buckley from San Diego. He says, interior defensive line need. Do you have an update, especially on the one-time 5-star Brennan Vernon? What's the depth looking like?
The depth is pretty impressive. There's numbers and there's quality. I mean, you start with an All-American and a guy that has the potential to be an All-American and Howard Cross and Riley Mills at the top. You'll get Gabe Rubio back in June. He'd start on most teams. Jason Anye can play both positions. He's really good. Donovan Heinisch, just think about Kurt, a little bit more athletic and surging. Maybe not as crazy as Kurt Heinisch. And then Brennan Vernon would be the number 3 defensive tackle right now, which is kind of on the verge of you're in the rotation or not in the rotation. He's got to, you know, hold that position. And fall is going to be important for him. So he moved from a field end inside. So this is a new position for him. It's been a learning spring. And for him to be at number 3 at that position, I think is pretty good.
Okay, we're going through some of the questions Eric was asked in his chat at InsideIndySports.com yesterday at noon. Larry from Pennsylvania, what are 2 or 3 things? What did you see in that scrimmage environment from Coach Denbrock that were different from the previous 2 offensive coordinators?
You know, I'm not sure that we saw the full scope of what Denbrock's going to do in that scrimmage. And so what can I say that's maybe different that I've seen in spring this year? Variety in personnel groups. I think we're going to see a less multiple tight ends all the time, and we're going to see different personnel groups. More versatilities in what the running backs and wide receivers do. More running from whoever the quarterback is. More of a vertical push down the field. And an offense that doesn't dip so much when they play elite defenses. So I think that's where we'll see the biggest difference between Denbrock and Tommy Rees, especially the early versions of Tommy Rees, and Denbrock and Jared Parker.
Marie from Atlanta, based on what you saw, would you describe the offense and the defense as being better, worse, or what you expected prior to the beginning of spring practice?
I think they're about what I expected. I think the defense, probably I'm a little bit even more excited. I thought this could be a top three defense in the country, and I still believe that and think maybe the ceiling is higher than that for them. We'll see. Some things have to fall into place with them, but including health, but I like where they're going. The offense... You know, the missions weren't the same. The offense had to install an offense. This was about showing your growing pains and correcting them. The defense was about polishing. So, yeah, they're about where I'm not seeing Riley Leonard run the offense right now. I'm curious what that looks like. But, yeah, I think they're about where I thought. I don't see dead ends where you say, oh, my gosh, they're not big enough on the interior offensive line. I'm not saying that. They're not fast enough on the perimeter. I don't say that. But there are things that have to develop and that aren't going to be ready to take out of the oven until August.
It's going to be interesting because Mike Denbrock is bringing I don't want to say a different style offense, but he is bringing his own version of probably a lot of stuff we have seen before
and
here
it's
at Notre
evolved.
Dame.
Evolved. I mean, he became – you're right. It is a version – but it's like it's kind of like, wow, this is, you know, going from a Honda Civic to a Ferrari. I mean, there's some.
I'm not
Mike
offended,
Denbrock
by the way.
Mike Denbrock has evolved because he got away from Brian Kelly at Cincinnati and had a chance to kind of grow himself. And I think Mike Denbrock was always thought of as a good offensive coordinator. People in and outside of the program think he's a great offensive coordinator now. So,
oh, absolutely.
We'll see.
But it will be interesting.
He was always a good radio host.
Yes, he was. I'll just be curious to see. We're not going to see the whole gamut. It's a scrimmage. We don't want to give anything away. But I'm just wondering how much of a sample we'll get that might look a little different. I have a feeling everything's going to look a little similar, and then we'll see some of the evolutions as the season gets underway.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be buttoned up some. I think he'll throw a few fun things out there, but they're going to be buttoned up. And they were, I mean, he's cognizant of when we're in there and when we're not. I'm sure, and I'm just basing this on knowing how his mind works, that there are more two running back formations than we've ever seen in practice this spring.
Sources have told me that during the blue goal game, one of the audibles will be Eric Hansen at the line of scrimmage because Eric broke the news that Coach Denbrock was coming back to be the offensive coordinator for Notre Dame. So as a tip of the cap, Mike has installed an Eric Hansen audible. You know, you hear Omaha, Omaha, it's going to be Eric Hansen. So I don't know if that's where the naked bootleg comes in or not after last night's show, but...
No, you have to have your shirts on.
You do. Very good. Okay, so I'll be listening for that. I'm sure we'll pick it up in our crowd mics on Saturday. Twitter X question of the day. We'll have that coming up next. .554 WSBT. He's the Hall of Fame writer, publisher, and editor at InsideIndySports.com. Let's see, what can I say? I'm Petersburg Porta High School Hall of Famer. Darren Pritchett, great to be with you on this Thursday evening.
Oh, you're a Hall of Famer.
I'll take
so many
that.
Ways.
I'm proud of that. I'm very proud of that.
You're okay. A Hall of Fame fiance.
I am?
So much that she's actually going to marry you.
Oh, isn't that amazing? It's money. It's amazing what paying off people will do, right? She's a Cub fan, even.
She's cool.
A Cub fan, an Alabama football fan. So that's how the last 3 years I've watched every Alabama football game. And she was the most knowledgeable Alabama fan in the country because she heard about Tommy Rees and Tyler Buchner for the last couple of years listening to the show. And she was not happy when that happened, when they went to old Tuscaloosa. Okay, Twitter question of the day from yesterday. You can answer the question daily on my Twitter X account at 960sports. But you got me flustered. I couldn't even think of the account for a second. Yesterday, we asked you, which side of the football are you most interested in watching or hearing about during Saturday's Notre Dame Blue Gold game? Choices were offense and defense. How would you vote?
I would say I'm most interested in watching the offense. I think they have the most mystery of them. So, yeah, I'm interested in the offense. I think the defense is going to be fun to watch in the fall.
You could say I want to watch the defense because they could be awesome, but there's so much more to learn about the offensive side of the football.
Yep.
And Professor Denbrock is there, so I want to make sure I watch that side of the ball. So I think I would vote offense. You would vote offense. 82% said offense.
Okay.
Only 18% went with Al Golden's possible elite defense. I mean, they were top five in total defense last year, number one in pass efficiency defense, so it's hard to build on that. Maybe the points per game goes down a tad bit when you factor in the schedule between A&M and Florida State. Eric, there are some chances to put up some single digits on the scoreboard.
Where I think they have room to improve is in their run defense. They were good against some teams. They weren't good when it mattered against in their losses.
Eric, that's a great point. And I think through the years, when you play Navy, it oftentimes hurts the numbers.
Right.
You're a little better than normally you are in the statistics, but they shut down Navy last year, so it didn't hurt their numbers. But over the last, let me just narrow it down to 10 years, Notre Dame's always been pretty good in run defense, but they've never had that slap you in your face, you're not going to run against us type defense, forcing the hand to the opposition to throw on third and long, and then you let the hounds go to the quarterback. So you've never had that you aren't going to get anything against us type run defense. And normally, with your statistical data, those teams that have great run defenses have the best chance to win championships, and the numbers prove it.
Right. I mean, think about the Louisville game. Louisville had a running back that ran over Notre Dame against Clemson. They had their second string back was bashing the Notre Dame defense. They couldn't throw against them, but they could run against them, and that was problematic. And even in the Ohio State game where Notre Dame did pretty good against the run, Ohio State had a long run that set them up. And in a low-scoring game, that was a big difference in the game. So, yeah, I think that's where they have room to improve.
Okay, so 82%, they're more excited about watching the offense on Saturday. And I think C.J. Carr has a lot to do with that as well. Today's question, what do you believe is the biggest need out of the spring transfer portal for Notre Dame football? Your four choices, punter, offensive tackle, cornerback, or safety. I wish I had a fifth choice. I would say none of the above. Or maybe they don't need anything. How would you vote?
I would vote for punter since Bryce McPherson went out the door. I think Eric Goins would be a great story, a 30-year-old punter who's served our country in the military and last punted and kicked at Citadel in, I think, 2013 or 2014. But I think you could get a top-shelf punter walking in the door that's eager to play on a playoff team.
Okay.
I would say safety is the one of those that you need the least.
I agree. That was the fourth edition. I was looking for a fourth, and I went with safety. But since a cornerback is on campus, got to have that. Never hurts to have another offensive tackle at this time. And punter looks like a big need. And there will be no punts in the blue goal game on Saturday. Okay, so you can vote on today's question. Go to Twitter X. My account is at 960SportsBeat. And now it's time to find out what you will find when you go to Eric's website, InsideIndySports.com.
Well, I had a story this morning on the Blue Gold draft, and there's some interesting wrinkles, and if you want to see who was drafted in what order, it's got all the rosters on it. We had our chat yesterday. The chat transcript is still up, getting a lot of page views today. We have our podcast with Hunter Bivin on Legacy Weekend, all the more than 300 former football players coming back to help the current team be around the recruits. Tyler's got all kinds of recruiting information. And of course, Darren, there is always much, much more.
My favorite part. Check it out, InsideIndySports.com. I think when I was on the site earlier today, there is the possibility of a nice special that you can take advantage of.
We do. We have, you can get buy 1 month and get three free, which will take you all the way into training camp when a lot of these battles, Riley Leonard and Steve Angeli, will continue. NDSpring24 is the promo code. You can just go to our website, InsideNDSports.com. Right at the very top, there's a bar that says exclusive, and it better be exclusive. Our competitors better not be giving away a sale on our site. And click on that, and it'll run you through the directions. If you get confused, email me, and I'll walk you through it.
There you go. Everything you need for the Blue Gold weekend at InsideIndySports.com. And, of course, Eric will be with me for the Blue Gold game Saturday starting at 12:30 live from Notre Dame Stadium. I'll see you then.
Sounds great.
He's Eric. I'm Darren. I'll take a look at the Blue Gold game rosters coming up next on Sports Radio 960 WSBT.
Hey everyone, Saltgrass Steakhouse is now open in Mishawaka. Wrangle up the crew and head down to Saltgrass Mishawaka for an unforgettable experience. Sink your teeth into mouth-watering, char-grilled, certified Angus beef steaks. Sip on ice-cold craft cocktails. And don't forget to try the famous Spicy Range Rattlers, all made daily in the Scratch Kitchen. Start making delicious memories at Saltgrass Mishawaka, 5126 North Main Street, across from Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. Dine with us today.